Amen. That was good, wasn't it? Praise the Lord for that. And it just kind of reminds you of your salvation, doesn't it? And thank the Lord. And you look back on the day you were saved, and what a blessing. And a day that you'll never forget. Amen. And I remember reading a biography about Bob Jones Sr. And he was one of those old, dim-winding, old-time gospel preachers. And he kind of got up in his years. And he was up there preaching. And then all of a sudden, he started talking about his salvation as an 11-year-old boy. He remembered, you know, and he heard the message about reaching out and touching the hem of his garment. And that day, as an 11-year-old boy, I reached out and touched the hem of the Savior's garment, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. About 90 years old up there preaching, amen. And one little bit, he started telling that testimony again. He did it three times. And his son was on the platform and got up and just kind of helped him sit down and said, "Dad, that was a great sermon." And so, you know, you might forget a lot of things, but one thing he never forgot was his day of salvation. And that day, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And hopefully you have that day. Amen. You have that day. And you remember that day. Amen. And I remember the day I got saved, January 11th, 1976. I got saved, trusted the Lord as my Savior. And there was a family here, the Shelmans. And Brother Shelman, he was the football coach. He led me to the Lord. And it was at a camp. We were at a winter weekend thing that up there in Minnesota, up north, and activity, and had preaching, and God got a hold of my heart and saved my soul. And I'll never forget it, and I hope I never will. And have that day, amen. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to remember the specific date, you know, to be saved, but it's always good to know that event, that time. And, you know, around that time, I'd just pick out a day, amen, and claim it as my day of salvation. And praise the Lord for that good song. And this church has a lot of talented people, a lot of talented people. People can sing and play instruments. I don't know how many different people in this church can play the piano. I know there's a bunch of them that can play the piano. And, you know, and I've preached in some churches, you know, and there are about 10 people in the church. They don't have a piano player. And every song is done, you know, without music. And then some churches I've preached in, there have been about 100 people, don't have a piano player. 100 people, not one piano player. And they'll use the recording, you know, the recording. They use the piano recording music and sing to that. You know how difficult that could be sometimes. And you just get off a tune and get off course. And thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the folks here that use their talents, abilities for the Lord. Amen. And so Thursday night revival, one more night, Friday night. How many ever remember the old song, "One More Night with the Frogs"? Anybody remember that song, "One More Night with the Frogs"? And I was preaching down in Kermit, Texas. Anybody ever been to Kermit, Texas? Kermit, Texas. And it's out there in the West Texas, out there where all the oil wells are at and everything like that. I was preaching out there, and there was a couple, an elderly couple. They were singers, Johnny and Nelda Flanagan. You remember that, Lois? And they sang, and they sang that song, "One More Night with the Frogs." And it was a funny song. They kind of sing songs that you know, they kind of change the words around, you know. They have a song about, you know, "You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille." Their song was, "You picked a fine time to leave me, Loose Wheel." You remember that one? "Loose Wheel." It's about a guy, you know, had a truck and the wheel fell off. And that was their song. "And there's work in the field, you picked a fine time to leave me, Loose Wheel." But And so one more night, who's with me? Amen. And so praise the Lord. Not that I'm a frog or anything like that, but it's amazing that Pharaoh, he was willing to spend that last night, amen, with the frogs. But, and so I thank the Lord for your faithfulness and praying that God will do a work. I know he's done a work here in your hearts and different things God has spoken your heart about, revealed your heart about. And so praise God for the Holy Spirit of God, the work of the Spirit of God. Amen. And thank the Lord for your faithfulness and praise God. And I believe God wants to send revival. I believe God wants to send revival. Isn't it amazing how things are happening in society today? Sometimes, you know, you wonder why the Lord hasn't come back. Amen. And with all the things that are happening, the wickedness and all of that, you know, it's amazing. But, you know, perhaps he's tarrying his coming to give us opportunity to have revival. Amen. Have revival. And to see a multitude of people get saved. And I believe God's extended his mercy and his grace, his long suffering. And we want to take advantage of it. And so God speaks your heart. And he revives your spirit and to have that renewed vigor, that renewed vision, amen. That renewed vitality to want to serve God, live for God, do the will of God. I'm going to read some verses out of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings and chapter number 6. And you're probably thinking, wow, you can tell where I've been reading my Bible reading, amen. And 2 Kings chapter 2, now 2 Kings chapter 6. And so there's a bunch of good things here in these passages of Scripture. And I want you to notice in 2 Kings chapter 6, of course, this is talking about, the young men that are working there. And then one of them, the axe head flew off. And so we'll look at a couple of thoughts concerning that. Notice the Bible says there, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 1, and the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And, Elisha, he was just short on words. Amen. Go ye. I will go. Amen. And but straightforward and simple, like our pastor, his favorite word, simple. Amen. And you can understand Elisha here and what he was wanting to see accomplished, and told him to go, and then I'll go with you. And the Bible says, so he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick. He cut down a stick, and he showed him the place, and he cut a stick off a tree, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. And so that was a miraculous work of God, amen. And to see that happening, and they're in a panic, and he was chopping away, and all of a sudden, you know, the axe head flew off the handle, and landed there in that muddy water. Down sunk down there, probably in the mud. And the muddy water, couldn't figure out exactly where it was. And basically told him the general area, you know, about where the axe head fell. And so he cut down a stick and cast it in. And all of a sudden, here comes that axe head. The iron, amen, the iron did swim. And the Bible says there, therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. And so once again, you will see, you know, God working here in a miraculous way, and some things that we can learn from this particular passage of Scripture that I believe will help us to recognize what God wants to do and what God can do despite the difficultness of this situation. These people had no idea where in the world. Just the general area, and thinking to themselves, how in the world is this man of God gonna find it, figure out where it went? And so they watched him, and he cut that stick off and threw it in the water there. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that it didn't float, it swam. Who's with me? I mean, it swam to the place where that young student, that young man could reach down there. And God made it available to him. Amen. God made it so that, you know, he wasn't going to have to wade out there in the water and walk around in the mud. God brought that thing right to him through the hand of Elisha. And that's exactly what we need to understand about revival and about what God wants to do. He doesn't try to cover it up. He doesn't try to make it difficult. Who's with me? But he does want you to know that, hey, listen, when it comes, it's all God. It's all God. And it's all about the power of God and the presence of God and the purpose of God, God's plan for your life. And the axe head, I mean, fell down and was stuck in the mud. Why do we need revival? A lot of us, you know, we're just a bunch of sticks in the mud. Who's with me? Our attitudes, our lives. And so we need to allow ourselves to let the Spirit of God and God's Word and the work of the Holy Spirit of God get into our hearts, and we'll see how God can use us to go beyond our talents, to go beyond our abilities, to go beyond our resources, because many times we come up short. Amen. And we get in a panic, and we try to figure out the problem, and we try to use all sorts of human resources to get ourselves out of a jam or figure out how to work the problem, when God is right there. He's got the answer. He's got the plan. He knows exactly what's going to happen, and he's going to make those things available unto us, reachable, amen, so that we can have God's power. This axe head that was lost, this axe head, represents our life, our fire, our zeal. And it was something that they desperately needed in order to get that work done. They had to have the proper tools. Aren't you glad that God has supplied us the tools? The Word of God, church, man of God to stand up here, our pastor, others that he places in our life to help us to rise above the muck. Rise above the mire. Rise above those things so that we can maintain that fire, maintain that fervor. But you look around today, Christianity, it appears that it has lost its axe head. Are you with me? And, you know, we lost that. We lack that sharpness, that bite, that love in our hearts to do God's will. And we have lost our edge. Who's with me? Say amen. Now, you know, I used to play hockey. And when they would sharpen skates, I mean, they would sharpen them to the point where you could cut the hair off of your arm. You could probably shave. It's so sharp, and it's a double edge. They hone the blade, and you've got two sharp edges. And many times when you're watching a hockey game and a fella falls down or slips down, nobody, you know, was harassing him. Nobody put the body check on him. And you'll hear the commentator say many times, he lost his edge. Who's with me? He lost his edge. And we see that today. Christianity, people, ministries, lies, fallen. Are you with me? And why? Perhaps we've lost that edge. We've lost that enthusiasm. We've lost that fire. We've lost that grit. Amen. That God can use to make a difference and to bring about a supernatural revival that God wants us to have in our life. Now, I don't really have, you know, any type of rhyming title for this. Maybe you can think of one, but the iron did swim, or, you know, he cast in the stick. I don't know. The stick did the trick. Amen? But I'm sure there's somebody can think of something a lot better than that. But notice some things about and how important it is, that axe head. Amen. And it flew off the handle. How many times God people fly off the handle? Who's with me? And we get upset. We lose control. We get angry. And we get in a panic. And it's not long. We've flown off the handle. Amen. He that hath no control over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Are you with me? Say amen. And so the axe head, notice here some things about it. First of all, we see the axe head was lost. The axe head. Where's that fire? Who's with me? Where's the fire? Where's the fervor? Where is that determination, dedication, and a commitment? Oh, listen, fundamentalism, Christianity today has lost its edge, its grip, its bite. It's gone, absent, adrift, cast away. Where are those Christians that were once on fire for God, that once served the Lord with all of their heart and all of their soul? They lost their edge. They lost their fire for one reason or another. And no real energy and excitement about the things of God. They're stuck in a rut, stuck in the mud, down the drain, slipped through the cracks. Who's with me? And we don't see that overwhelming love and fervor and desire to want to be used of God to see souls saved and have revival in our churches today, to get to the place where we're willing to do whatever it takes. Amen. And that young man, he wanted desperately to find that axe head. He wasn't going to stop. He went to the man of God and said, listen, it's over here and it fell in this spot. But you could just sense, the zeal and fervor. He said, it's borrowed. And I don't want it to remain lost or in that state, I want to be used to restore that, bring that thing back. Where are those Christians? Where is that revival? Where's that impact that we used to have? Where's the souls and the baptism and people lined up to want to do something for God? The axe head was lost. Amen. That's why we need revival in our churches today. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. The Apostle Paul, he's writing these words to the church at Corinth. And lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, worthless, unfit, not standing the test, standing in the gap, not approved, not a genuine, authentic, or true fire. Reprobate, the Apostle Paul did not want to allow himself to slip into a place where he just lost his zeal, lost his fervor for the cause of Christ. The axe head was gone. Who's with me? Oh, listen, this was a difficult situation for a lot of these individuals. What? No, you're not. That your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. That exit, it's your life, amen. The life that God's given you, the tool to get the job done that God has given each and every one of us, specific task, and he's given you that ability. He wants you to have that edge. He wants you to have that fervor in your heart and in your life. But it was gone. The axe head was lost, like so many people are today. Spiritually, there's people, they're in our churches today. They may not know beyond a shadow of a doubt if they died today that they would go to heaven. They may not recognize that a person can really have that assurance and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you die, you'd go straight to heaven. I'm sure there was doubt in that young man's heart as he was there in that situation, crying out for help. The axe head, it was gone. It was lost. And what a tragedy that would be. Now, I've been preaching, revival, and there's a bunch of churches that I used to preach in. A lot of them have changed, but a lot of them have just closed their doors. You just write Ichabod, the glory of God. What a sad state for a church to be in. The glory of God had departed from this place. Is that true spirit of revival gone in the First Baptist Church of Rosemount? Are we just going through the motions? Are we just content with being average? Are we just going to forget about the axe head and just try to chop at that piece of wood with the handle? And that's the condition that many churches are in today, just going through those types of things. The axe head was lost, but I want you to notice the second thing. I believe the reason why the axe head was lost, because the axe head was loose. Are you with me? And he probably didn't check it out, didn't check, make sure, the things were on there, fastened on there the way they're supposed to be, and had it all tied up on there. You see old axe heads, and how they used to fasten them to the handles with leather straps and all of that. And perhaps there was something, and he went back to take a swing, and all of a sudden that thing just flew off. He heard a kerplunk in the water, turned around and saw some ripples, but didn't know exactly what happened. I believe that's the reason why we're in the situation. The same thing that happened here with this young man, the axe head was loose. And today in Christianity and in the fundamentalism, we've just gotten too loose. Apathy, lukewarm, does not happen, you know, all of a sudden. I'm sure it wasn't the first swing that he lost that axe head. I'm sure he was chopping at that for a little bit, and all of a sudden it just kind of gradually loosened up to the point where it just flew off and was nowhere to be found. Perhaps he just got so caught up. And many times we can just get so caught up with things that'll distract us. And we just chomp and chomp and chomp away at life and working our jobs and paying our bills and going through all these necessary things we have to eke out a living. Or even in Christianity, sometimes you can get so busy you forget about that axe head, and it's not long before it's not there anymore. It's gone. How in the world? I mean, did those things happen? We can't allow ourselves to get so busy in working for God that we neglect our walk with God. And walking with the Lord, that's the problem I see today in many lives and churches today. We are too loose. Too loose with our communication. Too loose with our conduct. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It just slipped right off the handle. Just each chop. And because of neglect, apathy, negligence, and not looking after things, and just took things for granted. Are you with me? We should never take for granted this wonderful church that we're members of. We should never take each other for granted. We should never take for granted the fact that we've got preacher believes in the King James Bible, preaches the Word of God, and all the different ministries that are available here for people to get involved in. But we've let something slip to the place where our zeal is gone. Too loose, too casual, too relaxed. Sloppy, baggy. Who's with me? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, gird up those loins. I mean, we've got to cinch some things up. We've got to tighten up. We've got to secure. We've got to be more firm. Things have become just too loose. Loose in our conduct. Loose in our communication, loose in our clothes, loose with what we watch or what we listen to. Proverbs chapter 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. The axe head was lost because it was loose. Amen. And people get so loose with things. And I've seen it time and time again. The adultery, the fornication, the wickedness that comes into our churches. And the people are just too loose with each other. Amen. And it's not long before we'll lose our families. We'll lose our children. We'll lose our purity. Who's with me? Because we've gotten too loose. We've let some things slip. I remember that when they, how many remember when they, when the Vikings traded away, I mean, traded away the house just to get that running back, you know, from, he played at Georgia, I forget his name. Yes, Herschel Walker. And the first game that guy played, he was running the ball and his shoe flew off. I thought to myself, you traded for a guy who can't even tie his shoe. His shoe flew off. He running out there with only one shoe on and wasn't long. Someone tackled him and knocked him down to the ground. That's what happens when you don't take care of things. Amen. You got to tighten some things up at home. You got to gird up those loins. And you got to batten down the hatches. Amen. My daughter called me today, and we were talking, Michaela, down there at Pensacola. I said, are you ready for that hurricane? Are you ready for that hurricane that's coming through? And it's going to hit right there. Of course, they got all the things, the provisions, you know, what they're supposed to do. And, man, they're boarding things up, and they're screwing things down, and they're making sure everything's nailed down, screwed down. They don't want to lose anything. That's the way we need to be with our walk with God and with our Christianity. We become too loose. Amen. And then when the storms of life hit, what happened? We're in a panic. We're in a panic. And we get discouraged and frustrated. Oh, listen, the axe head, it was lost because it was loose, but not only was it lost and loose, but praise God, the axe head was lifted. Who's with me? Aren't you glad about that tonight? Aren't you glad that it doesn't have to remain lost? It doesn't have to remain. You don't have to remain in that situation. It was lifted. This is the revival that we need. We need for that the Lord God of love and compassion, to, and he's there ready and waiting to lift us up. Amen. Lift us up. You know, when he's saved, he pulled you up out of the miry pit and set you upon a solid rock. And he put a new song in your mouth. You remember the illustration where Peter was drowning and he said, Lord, save me. And God lifted him. Jesus lifted him up right out of it. Aren't you thankful for that tonight? Lift up thy eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are ripe unto harvest. God, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Oh, listen, that's what we need today. I mean, you're drowning in some kind of mire, some kind of muck, some kind of sorrow, discouraged today. Seek the Lord. He will lift you up. Amen. We need that today in many of our homes, many of our lives, to be lifted up. And this young man here, you know, you got to recognize, he cried out. He acknowledged the fact that he lost it. He didn't walk around making an excuse. He didn't walk around covered up. He went directly to the man of God. Amen. And he didn't, you know, beat around the bush. He said, I've lost it. It's gone. It's in the mire. I don't know. Something. Oh, listen, God wants to lift us up as long as we're willing to make the right type of decision when we're in those types of situations. Not run from it, not flee from it, but avail yourself to the hand of God and he will lift you up. Notice the Bible says that the man of God said, get down, get that iron, get that axe head. And he knelt down and it was in a spirit of repentance. Amen. We want to be lifted up. We've got to recognize that God has the power. God has the plan. God knows exactly where you're at in that situation. You don't have to stay there lost, lukewarm, apathetic. You can allow the power of God to lift you up with a spirit of repentance, and God is willing to restore that relationship. Are you with me? Oh, listen. The iron, the Bible says, did swim. And what a great picture of revival. And who would have thought that that would ever be possible in people today in Christianity? They don't think it's possible for us to have revival. But God is all about renewal. God is all about refreshing. God is all about revival. Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It was that stick that did the trick. And once it was in there, and that wood represents the cross of Calvary. Who died, Jesus died on a cross, that old rough piece of wood that he laid himself on, and he was lifted up and dropped in that hole, dying for you and dying for me. And it was through his sacrifice that each and every one of us, one day we will be lifted up out of this wicked world. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Oh, listen, the iron did swim. That's the revival. You don't have to remain in that lost, apathetic type of condition. You need to come, ask God to tighten some things up in your life. What is it that you've let slip? Have you let family altar slip? Have you let your devotion slip? Have you let your witness slip? Have you let your prayer time slip? Who's with me? It won't be long. You continue in that. You're gonna lose it. You're gonna lose it. But God is right there through his mercy and kindness to lift us up. Lord, I pray you take the message. Help us, Lord, to see it. And this wonderful truth in the Word of God. And the axe head did not have to remain lost. And the young man who was willing to recognize the situation and take the responsibility upon himself and asking the man of God. And Lord, we're asking you tonight, in this wicked old society we live in, it's easy to get lost in all of the things that are out there in the internet and our jobs. Oh, it's easy, Lord, to just kind of get lost in the shuffle. Oh, dear God, help us to tighten some things up to get back to where we need to be, to that place we may not recognize exactly, but you're there, Lord, to point it out, to use that power of the cross and the blood of Jesus to pull us up, to lift us out of that situation. And restore and renew and revive us, I pray, dear God. Oh, Lord, help us to see it tonight in our lives. I pray each and every one of us, dear God, will have a desire to come. That's the place. And get to that altar and recognize the importance of it. And allow you to restore once again that fire, that zeal, that excitement in our lives, that strength. That power we need to serve you. Oh, thank you, dear God, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, and the power of it. I pray, Lord, that you use the messages and the Holy Spirit of God to get us back to that place of fire. And, Lord, we'll give you the glory for it. In your name we pray.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I trust that you're saved tonight. If not, you need to come and trust Christ as Savior. But for those of us who are saved, I think every one of us, we can relate to a time, maybe many times, that we've let something slip. That axe head is a great illustration. It was lost, it was loose, but as he said, it was lifted up. Well, that's what we need here tonight. I think about the words of David in Psalm 40. When David said that he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in here and shall trust in the Lord. How about you tonight? Maybe God has spoken to your heart about the fact that you've let something slip. You're lost. You need to get back to the things of God. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come tonight.